In the House Special Session Committee on Budget Reconciliation, we will open a public hearing on House Bill 4053. Anyone in the audience wishing to testify on House Bill 4053? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 4053.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Olson.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4053 will delay the sunset on the hearings officer panel until January 2nd, 2006. It's currently set to sunset on January 1st of 2004. With the current sunset, it would cause approximately 60 state agencies to prepare two different budgets for the 2003-2005 biennium. Delaying the sunset would simply allow them to prepare one budget. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee is currently conducting a study of the Central Hearings Panel and will, I'm sure, bring recommendations and action to the next legislative session in 2003.
Thank you, staff. Any questions for staff?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Just the question of, as we extend the sunset on the hearings panel, so that we don't have the budgeting, the duality of the nature of the budgets in a split session or in a split year, this was given a sunset to determine how it's working, as opposed to just allowing it to continue to extend the sunset. I'm wondering if we have any information as to how it is working financially and economically and satisfactorily from a legal standpoint amongst the various agencies who are employing the hearings officers, as opposed to just continuing to extend it, because we're just extending it 2 years where we'll have the same problem for the 2005 budget, it appears to me.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shepard.
If I can respond to that. Actually, no, Representative Butler. I think the intent of this is that the sunset extension will still be dealt with in the 2003 session. The exact same review and determination of the sunset extension is going to be dealt with in the 2003 session, but it can be done this way. It can be done without having to have two sets of budgets prepared in anticipation of that, not knowing which way it's going to go.
So the statute still provides for the review of it in 2003-2005?
The statute doesn't specifically provide for it, but the purpose of this is to accommodate that review without having to do two sets of alternative budgets in all of the agencies, boards, and commissions that feed into the panel. And also we'll have, we did request specifically the LFO, the JLAC audit, to bring that information so we would have that for the 2003 session.
Thank you.
So I don't think this changes anything that would otherwise have happened in the 2003 session with regards to the panel, other than that we don't have to have all the agency boards and commissions doing two sets of budgets.
Thank you. I just wanted to make certain that what we were doing was extending the opportunity to go ahead and budget the issues into a single budget year, as opposed to just extending it automatically by taking the fiscal course of least resistance.
I think it underscores your concern and deals with it.
Thank you.
Quite efficiently. Representative Hansen.
Thank you. I can understand the wisdom of doing this, especially considering the number of different budgets this affects. Are there any other sunset provisions that we're going to be looking into in the next biennium that this type of a solution might be applicable to?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, not to my knowledge. Not that I know of that the Legislative Fiscal Office is currently reviewing or conducting a performance review on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciated Representative Shetterly's summary of the review in 2003. Could you guide me to the language in the bill that speaks to that? Or
Mr. Chair? Well, no, there's no language in the bill. The point being, we will. This it doesn't mandate a review, but the very purpose for doing this is to enable us to do the review at a point in time where we don't have these dual budgets in place. The JLAC audit is going to is going to bring forward. I think the opportunity to examine it. There will be a bill in to either extend or not extend the Central Hearing Officer panel. That debate's going to happen in the 2003 session with or without this bill. So all this addresses is the issue of two budgets or no two budgets. Otherwise, even without a statutory directive, where there's going to be legislation relating to the panel in the 2003 session. The Hearing Officer Oversight Committee is dealing with this, and Judiciary Committee has reviewed it. There's going to be action taken with regard to the panel in 2003, with or without this bill.
Thank you.
Any further discussion for staff? Any questions of one another? I'd like to castigate Representatives Butler, Shetterly, and Schrader for not reading my memo about no ties today, but other than that...
You're a smooth dude, sir.
Yeah, you're a smooth dude.
Representative Shetterly did wear his plaid shirt, however.
Schrader?
Yes, Schrader. We won't go into the sartorial splendor or lack thereof of Representative Schrader. Chair will entertain a motion to move House Bill 4053 to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 4053 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 4053 to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Would you consider this for a consent calendar?
Well, first I'd like to appoint you as the carrier.
Well, that's why I was raising consent calendar before you appointed a carrier. That's fine.
Let's not do that right
now. Okay, that's fine.
I think it's important to have some specific issues.
Then I'll do it.
We will close the work session on House Bill 4053. Open a work session to introduce bills, and the chair would like to introduce LC 37-1, report from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. LC 37-1 is a bill that reduces the amounts transferred from the state school fund to certain grants, particularly the Education Service District grants. It brings it into compliance with and works with the allocation formula adopted last session. The bill or the LC will also transfer money from the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund to the General Fund in the amount of $15 million, and it also expands the purposes for which monies in the Emergency Communications account and subaccounts may be used.
Any questions of staff?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schrader.
Some specifics, if I may, on the state school fund grant reductions.
I'll do my best. There are folks in legislative revenue that...
Maybe we should get Steve Meyer in here. We went through this extensively with Steve yesterday, and I think what you're having problems with is kind of this part, the specific number of the, whatever it is, 4.923 million, under some circumstances, considering all the package that I think we will be passing across. Here comes Mr. Meyer. You could consider this superfluous, but there are some circumstances where it could come into play, and we need to establish the ratio and the mix of what would be taken out of ESDs versus state school fund. Mr. Meyer, did I butcher your excellent explanation yesterday?
Explanation yesterday?
You mean you gave me misinformation? Wait, I like the explanation. Let's stick with it.
For the record, Steve Meyer, let's say the revenue. I do not have before me the draft that you have. I have LC 13. Is that the same language?
LC 37-1. Let's give him Ben. And can you give me the background of the genesis of the conversation, why we're doing this?
Mr. Chair, members, we're looking at Section 3, I take it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The genesis of this language, of the $4.923 million in line 16, goes back to the first special session when the school improvement fund dollars for 02-03 were taken away from school districts. The SDs at that time said, since the school districts have lost that $112 million school improvement fund dollars, that the SDs were willing to share part of that loss by shifting some of their state school fund dollars to school districts. Okay. And then the ESD said, since we are going to have $4.9 million less from the state school fund, we want to specify how that loss is shared among the ESDs. They did not want that the dollars that were run through the ESD equalization formula that was adopted to be reduced. They wanted to take the reduction on a per-weighted student basis so that the amount per weighted student would be the same for all of the ESDs multiplied by the number of weighted students within the ESD. Right now, so if the state school fund then is reduced and the ESD is sharing that reduction, the $200 million, let's say, then the question is, how is that ESD reduction shared among the ESDs? And the ESD said, we would like it shared the same way as the $4.923 million is shared, on a per-weighted student basis. Right? The language you see here was intended to do that, and it does it for the state school fund dollars, but the problem with and I'm just discussing this with council now, I think the way this ended up being drafted is that if the state school fund were to remain whole, then the SDs wouldn't even have their $4.923 million loss. Right? And so we would still want this calculation here to be a minimum of $4.923 million.
So if we introduce this, are we likely to see amendments before we get it back then in bill form?
Yes. Council can make this change when the blanks are filled in.
Follow up?
Yeah.
So then, I appreciate the explanation. I'm not sure I followed absolutely every bit of it, but I understand it's to make my paraphrase would be to make sure ESDs are willing to share in the burden, not share an excessive burden.
Share in the burden of the $112 million,
mm-hmm.
and then specify how the burden is shared among the ESDs for any reduction in state school fund dollars beyond the school improvement fund.
Okay. And follow up again, that so without specifying an amount, in other words, the 4.9 figure in here does not presuppose a $200 million reduction or
it's not. Correct. It was not.
So this is an open-ended solution to making sure they're held relatively harmless with whatever pluses and minuses happen to the state school fund.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Oh, no, you can have it.
Go for it.
Oh, by all means. Any other questions? Representative Johnson?
Changing away from the subjects of the subject of ESDs and looking at Section 6, Sub 2, I was wondering if you could help me with an explanation of this is now cleansing the 911 money of the requirement that it be expended for emergency communication purposes.
Mr. Chair, that should be directed to other staff.
Oh, I'm sorry, your revenue. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, I'm not sure the answer to that question. We'll have to find that.
Hey, what? Let's get this introduced. We can look at all, have all these questions answered when we get it back to us in bill form.
We actually have.
Yeah. Here. Chair, I'd move introduction of LC 37-1. Is there any discussion? Any objection? And that's ordered.
The chair will
I'm gonna have to
close the bill introduction on 37-1 and open the introduction of LC 47. Mr. Staff, who got my memo about not wearing a tie.
It's going to be a long day today.
That proves you can read. And we wondered about that.
Mr. Chair, I think I'll turn this over to Mr. Warner for legislative revenue.
All right.
Handle this one.
Mr. Chair, you have before you LC 47 for bill introduction. What this bill does is authorize the state treasurer to issue revenue bonds to be paid from the flow of revenue from the master settlement agreement. The bill itself is modeled on Senate Bill 832, which you approved in the 2001 legislature. That's the OHSU revenue bonds that are backed by the master settlement agreement. So the structure of this bill is very similar. That was used as the model. What it does is it sets up the two funds for the treasurer to place these funds into that are obtained from the sale of the revenue bonds. As the revenue bonds are sold and the revenue is obtained, they will be placed in the state school fund before May 1st, 2003. The amount to be placed in is blank, and it will depend on the amount that you put in HJR 80, and it will go into effect only if HJR 80 fails. So it is the backup plan to HJR 80. And so that's the way it's set up now. And these are revenue bonds. They are not GO bonds. So the only monies that can be used to repay these bonds are master settlement monies. They're not backed by the full faith of the state government.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions of staff? Any discussion? Any objections to introducing LC 47 to the committee?
I move we introduce LC 47.
That's strong words. Seeing no objections, LC 47 is introduced to the committee, and we will recess the committee until the call of the chair. We'll be moving fast today, folks.